Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Tonight, I want us to look out of the context from the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, to identify a lesson that I have prepared that is entitled, Where Are Your Treasures? I must say, in doing that, I'm not a thief. I'm not asking where you keep your money or your valuables. But rather, I want us to think about the things that we value in life. We all have things that we value in life, do we not? Whenever I think about things that I value in life, my mind goes back to a time whenever I was young. My brother and I, we collected baseball cards. I was very interested in baseball. And in fact, I believe one of my cousins, as who it is, that got me involved in thinking about baseball and about baseball cards and such. And this one cousin, he could tell you a batter's batting average. He could tell you how many home runs this individual had had and how many times that they had scored during the course of their career and even how much money they made. And his interest in that sparked an interest in me, and I came on board with that. And one thing even led to another, to where he got me and my brother both involved in collecting baseball cards. So much so that we had several thousand ball cards. Several thousand. Whenever I say several thousands, I'm saying 10,000 plus. I don't remember the exact number. And a few of those cards were very rare. We had Hank Aaron cards. We had, I believe, a Willie Mays. We had some of the old timers, and some of those cards had great value to them. Certain cards, I remember that they used to be worth a small fortune. And from a kid's standpoint, whenever I think about a small fortune, they were worth $1,000, maybe a few thousand dollars. Today, that's not the case. The value of baseball cards, my understanding, for the most part, have fallen off. But I remember sitting around with my brother and thinking to ourselves or between us is that if we went out and sold all these cards, we could be rich. But if we hold on to them, we're really going to be set for life. Well, in that, we were looking to our treasures. We were looking to the immediate values of these things, as well as then we were trying to project from my kid's mind anyway, maybe what they would be able to be worth. Well, whenever we grew, and whenever Dawn and I got married, I told my brother, you hang on to our baseball cards, and one of these days, we'll split them up, our kids can split them up, or something like that. Well, he and I were working in the same place, and the guy who was working across from me, he was also into baseball cards. And he says, I really got a good deal on those cards that you and your brother had. And I said, you got a good deal on cards that me and my brother and I had? What do you mean? And he said, your brother sold me all your baseball cards for $40. I said, for $40? And he said, yes. And I said, there were some rare cards in there. And he says, I know, it was great. And I thought to myself, he didn't even give me half the loot. $40. Of course, we had a conversation about that. And in that, I learned very quickly that what you value, what you place a value on, in reality, it can disappear just like that. We all have things that we value, do we not? And what is it that we can certainly take and put a value on? I believe that we treasure our memories that we make. I'm able to have some good memories that I was able to share with my family whenever I was very young, with my siblings, even the one that sold the cards, with my mom and dad and my grandparents. And I know that I'm not alone. You all have memories that you've made throughout the course of your life, and those memories are still there, and you treasure them. Friendships that we have made from the time in which we were young. I remember my first day of kindergarten, and how that one of my cousins, another cousin, had told me, you want to become friends with this guy named Tony Eubank. And come to find out, we were in the same class and we've remained friends all through school and still friends today. And we treasure those friendships. Also, there are tangible items that we can lay our hands on and that we place a premium on. In regard to that matter, all of us have things that we value. All of us have certain treasures. Tonight, if I were to ask you, what are your treasures? What are things from a tangible standpoint? Things that maybe you've collected over the course of your life, things that you really put a premium on, what are they? And if I were to say that there's a natural disaster that's going to strike and you have 10 minutes to go into your house and pull things out of your house, what would you pull out of your house? It would be those items, would it not? It would be those things that you have looked at and that you put a value on, a premium on. Those are your valuables. Those are your treasures. There is nothing wrong with placing a value on things, certain things especially. Our memories, on relationships, and even on tangible items, so long as we keep them in their proper perspective. Yet, interesting to all of that, the Lord warns us about laying up earthly treasures. What does He mean about that? Laying up for ourselves earthly treasures. I believe that there are reasons given in the context here. He says that moth eats holes in pieces of valuable clothing or cloth. I remember you all have never met her, but my Mamma McFall, whenever she was out working, she worked for, coincidentally, for the same plant that I worked for many, many years, Paola Chair. And whenever she was working and finally retired, she was a seamstress. And she bought all of the types of material that she really put a premium on. She stacked it up in their basement, and she would even order things from overseas and such. And she would stack it up, planning someday, one of these days, to do something with that. And I remember a conversation that she had with my mother years after laying all that material up, some of it of great value, is that moths had eaten holes in it and it was of no value. But then he also shares with us in the context here is that rust destroys items that are made of metal. How many in here have had maybe an old vehicle or something like that that you put a lot of stock in? I remember whenever Dawn and I first married, we bought a 1969 Chevy pickup truck. And I love that old truck. It was a 3-speed on the column. And the person that we bought it from had actually gone through and restored the truck. We bought it for $2,000. It was a deal and a half. And we drove it, and I was very young at the time, very naive, didn't really realize the importance of making sure that whenever you've got something of age like that, you've really got to keep putting money into it or else it's going to fall apart on you. Well, that's exactly what was happening. And by the time we sold it, it really wasn't worth very much. Why? Because it was rusty and there were holes in it and things of that nature. But also, though, when we think about our treasures, the things that maybe we have in our homes, the Bible identifies is that thieves break in. And whenever thieves break in, are they there to introduce themselves to us? No, they come in a very sneakative way. They come in whenever we least expect it. And they're not there for our good. They're there for their good, if you would. And what are they after? They're after our valuables. They're after our treasures. And the Lord wants us to understand that while they may not come after us, they come after our neighbors. And we know that indeed this has happened and will continue to happen. Well, whenever it comes to our earthly treasures, they are only temporary at best. Am I right in that? Some things that we have valued over the course of our life, maybe that value has fallen off, like the baseball cards. Or maybe things that we have valued in life or that we've collected, we no longer have an interest in it. And therefore, the value, at least in our eyes, has gone away. But from a biblical perspective, from the way in which God sees all of these things, that we lay up treasures in earth with, or that they are treasures in earth, the Bible shows us is that someday this earth shall be no more. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through verse 17 says that the earth is passing away. And you and I know that whenever Jesus Christ returns, that is exactly what's going to take place. Well, when we think about the treasures that God wants us to lay up, what is it that He's asking us to do? What are those treasures that we lay up for ourselves in heaven? Not on earth, but in heaven. I want to present some things for thought tonight. And number one is that maybe giving a refreshing cup of water to a thirsty soul. Maybe we come in contact with a person that has been out working all day. They've been sweating profusely and they're dehydrated and they need a drink. And we just happen to have that opportunity. We might have a drink in our hand or we're able to run down to a grocery store and such and to buy that individual that which they need to quench their thirst. That, my friends, I believe is a treasure laid up in heaven. But then in like figure, I want us to understand that every dollar that we give for the cause of Christ, for the work of the Lord's church, that is a heavenly treasure. Whenever we give as we have been prospered, whenever we give upon the first day of the week, and even beyond that, sometimes members will give money for the works of the church, even beyond our Sunday collections. And that's great, because when we're doing so, we're not only helping to benefit that work or the church as a whole, we're also glorifying our God as a result of that. And my friends, that is a treasure laid up in heaven. But then also, I believe that when we think about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, words of encouragement to someone who is struggling. How often have you come across someone in your life, or maybe you've even been there yourself, where that you're struggling or you know somebody who is struggling, and oftentimes, what do? We might just pass on by, or we might just say something, but yet at the same time, not really and truly invest in them. And God wants us to invest in others whenever everything's going great, certainly, but also more so, I believe, whenever they're struggling in life. And you and I, whenever we take the time as members of the Lord's church, as those who are to be Christ-like, to give words of encouragement to those individuals who are dealing with issues or challenges, circumstances in life, those things represent treasures that we are laying up for ourselves, my friends, in heaven. But then let's also consider the broader context of what the Scripture teaches us in regard to Matthew chapter 25, verses 25 through 46, really. And I've given this, though, as my last segment of the slide on this one, and that is feeding the hungry. We are blessed to live in a country where that we have more than what we need, to be quite frank with you. And I think that all that is within the sound of my voice tonight would agree with me. We do not lack, most of us anyway, whenever it comes to being hungry. But there are people in the world, and there even are some people in our nation and even here in our community, where that they lack their daily necessities concerning food. And if we give food to help someone's hungers be met, my friends, that's laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Helping someone who needs clothes to be able to go to school. Helping someone who needs clothes just to be able to go out and to engage in life. That is a way in which we can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. But also think about going and visiting the sick. You know, the Scripture teaches us in James chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that we're to visit the widows and orphans. And in that context, I believe that the Lord is actually more literally saying that we need to meet the needs of those who are widows and orphans. But let's take it in the direction of just visiting with them, sitting and talking with those who have lost a loved one, sitting and visiting with those who are shut-ins, who cannot get out, sitting and visiting with those individuals maybe who have just gotten out of the hospital or maybe they're in the hospital. All of those outreaches that we do, all of those connections that we make with people who are struggling in one form or fashion, as we're striving to encourage them, yes, we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And here's the blessing of all that. We're doing it because of our love for God, amen, as well as for our love for these individuals. And is that not what we find to be true or characteristic in and through the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I ask you to think with me tonight as we look in regard to what is found here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. When Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and dust destroys, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Does God have a bigger picture maybe in mind here that He's wanting us to understand than maybe what we find on the surface? I think so. I believe that God is wanting you and me to keep our things, the things that we value in life, to keep these in their proper perspective. While with us, we treasure them. While with us, they may have value, and even maybe in the world they have value, still at the same time to realize is that God's the one who's blessed us with those things to begin with. Amen? And therefore, we need to praise Him for the fact that we're able to have certain things in life, but yet also to understand is that we should not place or overplace the premium on them. Because in truth, these things will have their end whenever Christ our Lord returns. But my friends, then also the earth and everything in it will someday be gone. Not only the things that we place a value on, everything that this world consists of, from a material standpoint, from a monetary perspective, from even the earth itself, all of it's going to be gone. It will melt, according to what Peter said, was shown by revelation and spoke by inspiration in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and following. It will melt with fervent heat. It's not going to be here forever. All of our thoughts and deeds and things really and truly belong to God. And therefore, whether it is of things that we are collecting, if it is money that maybe we've been able to acquire over the course of our life, any and everything that we have belongs to our God. And therefore, we need to understand is that not only has God given us these things and they still belong to Him, He has entrusted us to be stewards over the blessings that we have in life. And therefore, to realize is that they do belong to Him and they always will. And we must use those things, material blessings, to the glory and honor of His name each and every day of our life. Our pursuit in life must always be to lay up for the life that is to come. That's the bottom line of what's going on here in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Everything that we do in this life, from the time in which we wake up in the morning to the time in which we lay our heads on the pillow of a night, should be done in pursuit of the life that is to come. That's hard sometimes for us to wrap our heads around. And it's even more difficult, I believe, for us to keep our heads wrapped around. Amen? Is that every opportunity, every moment that we exist here in this world is to be lived in view of eternity and doing everything that we can to glorify God with our things, with everything that we have, and with our lives, with every moment that we have in our lives. Lay up for yourselves and treasures. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? For where your heart is, there your heart will be also. Tonight I ask you, have you given your life to Christ? If you are not a New Testament Christian, why do you tarry? If it's because you do not know what it is that God wants you to do, or maybe you have other questions, we would love to be able to sit and to study with you. Maybe you do know and you've made the decision today, or you made the decision in the last few days. You say, I want to become a Christian. I want to do that tonight. We will receive you as you would respond to the Lord's invitation. We will take your confession of faith, and then we will, as you submit yourself to be baptized, we will immerse you into Christ. If you're here today and you are a member and you've been struggling with the world, maybe you've been struggling with treasures. Maybe you've gotten mixed up on earthly treasures versus spiritual, heavenly treasures. Or maybe you're just struggling in general and you say, you know, I need prayers of the church. I need to make sure that I'm right with God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come as